Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
Ryan is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Now, that's why they call me country.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Measure's pretty small. Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Measure with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Measure's pretty small. Major with a
Can we talk sports?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch or Hurts radio program, 617-779-0985. And a lot going on. I saw David Backus yesterday. There was opening day of my son's Little League, and there's David Backus, him and his wife, pushing a stroller.
How's he feeling?
I don't know. But he was pushing a stroller. His kid's not in the baseball league. So what are you doing in this parade? Just up and walking in this parade? You got nothing to do with it? How dare you? You're somewhere you're not. You don't belong.
Get out of here. Only little leaguers and parents allowed.
Well, I mean, you know, just because I know, and you know what's strange is I know where he lives. That's been pointed out. Main road. Oof. Right there on a main road. Oof. Yeah, you know, they're not residential street, main road.
You people in Newton look down on houses next to roads with lines on them?
It's a main road.
Okay.
You would think the man makes enough money where he could get off a main road. Would you not agree?
I'm a little surprised.
Ideally, would you live on a main road, smartass?
No.
Well, yes. No. The property value is much more off of a main road.
Yes, no, that's true.
Wait, you just considered that?
No,
if there was any question?
I'm trying to think of a way around this so I can go at you, but I can't.
There's no around it. It's, if you live on a main road, it's considered a problem.
I thought those roads that were on the marathon route were kind of like the most expensive.
No.
Because those houses are
they are very nice, yes. But no, it's Fred's right. I can't, as hard as I'm thinking, that's more what I'm considering, how to argue with you about this, but I can't.
You're trying to find a false argument?
I was trying to find a way that you were wrong in your estimation, and I can't. You're absolutely right. You want to live off a main road, yes.
Yeah.
With less traffic. That makes it safer for kids to live there.
Right. You don't have to back out into traffic. You don't have to deal with all of that.
Yes, I too find it kind of surprising.
So what was this thing David Backus was at? Was it like a parade, you said?
Oh, it was a parade.
Okay.
The kids all meet at an elementary school, and then they walk to the field.
Okay, it's the same thing coming up Saturday. Same thing.
And, yeah, and David Backus has no child in this. He just thought he wanted to go see a parade?
I think he lives around the parade route, and they might have been out.
Okay.
You know, pushing the... I think they have a small child, and they wanted to go out and push the child in the stroller. And he got caught up in the moment and had to throw himself into the whole affair, which really was none of his business.
Dude just flew in from, so I'm assuming this is yesterday morning that this all happened, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the guy just flew in. He's probably all beaten to hell.
Flew in from where?
They were in Boston.
Oh, that's
Friday.
Right. They're in Boston on Saturday. That's right. So the next morning he wakes up. He's still beaten to hell because you saw the game ended with him in a fight. So he's still battered and bruised. and you still got to wake up and you still got to be a dad. That's the part that kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, it was, no, it was 11:30 in the morning. I mean, it wasn't, you know, 5 in the morning. I mean, the man got up, probably to fly out yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
besides, we've seen this before. Zdeno Chara riding the Rooster of Doom the morning after they get eliminated.
See, that's just because he wanted to drown that memory away.
Ah,
the season was over at that point. Yeah. Completely different.
Do your kids play Fortnite?
No, we actually had this discussion on Friday, and you were telling me that that's all Milo talks about. And I had not
seen... I had to take the stupid Xbox out.
And I had not seen
the
video.
Which ruined everything.
Of it.
Do you have to buy Fortnite? I heard it's free.
It's free.
Okay.
But then there's a... And I guarantee you there's... half our audience with kids have dealt with this.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take the Xbox out. And by taking the Xbox out, it ruined Apple TV. So that's gone. And I had to spend an hour, because the back of my entertainment console is just a sea of wires crossed over each other. And
yeah.
You know what's good is to buy a house right before Bluetooth came around, because I have meaningless wires poking through the wall.
I know.
It was all wired for sound, and now it's like, okay, well, these are all useless.
Every TV now, you just like, need to be any kind of wiring, and you know, back in the day, you used to have to put things behind your wall and all that. None of that.
Yeah.
Don't do any of that anymore.
That's exactly what I have a bunch of wires coming out of the wall that have no, if they're just garbage.
Yeah, and if you get something new for it, yeah, God bless you trying to have to wire the up through the hole that the guys who put it in your house installed it in. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, and so I, he wouldn't stop with this crap, and I was supposed to go to the BC game on Saturday, and he gets to warm up with the team, and he was like, I don't want to do it at Fortnite, because he doesn't get the electronics during the week. Fortnite. And I'm like, you got baseball at baseball practice today. No, Fortnite. And I go, oh, yeah, really? And I took the Xbox, and I took it out of the wall. And then all hell broke loose.
Was that a revolt?
No, I couldn't. No, all hell broke loose in that, he accepted it and realized it. He actually realized I was right. And but I couldn't get anything to work. And then all the wires were laying around, and I had tried to take wires out. And then, because you know me, I panicked when there was no television. I can't have that. And so, and without the Apple TV and without... even the Xbox, there's no watching anything if the DirecTV's out. So I was in a complete panic. That was my Saturday, is it a panicking. And then I had taken a shower, and I'm sitting there trying to fix the electrical system. And you ever have a shower, they say it in Seinfeld, that doesn't stick, and you just start sweating, like even more uncontrollably? Because you've just taken a shower. I was just like bathed in water in an intense panic to get this thing back together. Ay, 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 with the Fortnite.
So how do they, is it one of those games where you buy things as you, okay, that's why it's free. All right. I have no idea. And I'm assuming it's kind of like a game it's a first person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Not first person.
But I mean, you are kind of above the character as he wanders around. No.
I mean, sure,
okay.
But it's not first person.
Okay,
but like, yeah, I just woke up one morning, and he, like, him and his dumb, and all the, and then, so I took it away, and now all he does is watch people on the internet playing Fortnite.
Right. That is a logical next step these days.
That's, and these guys got like a million followers.
Yeah.
And it's just them playing Fortnite.
Yeah. I told you I have a friend who teaches people how to play video games professionally.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the weirdest thing. He's like a coach, or he makes these books, and he hires these guys who are on these teams, like in the Overwatch League or whatever, mm-hmm. and he gives them money to make these guides, and I guess that's big business now. Which,
oh, sure.
It fascinates me. It fascinates me to no end.
Right. Because they only get that stuff on the weekends. So on like Saturday morning, they'll get up at 5. And I don't know if they're up or not. Like, what the hell? I'm not up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So they're up, you know, because that's the one day that they get the electronics.
Now, do they get on the headset and talk to other people, their friends? Okay, because you don't know what kind of weirdos on the other end of that sometimes.
No.
Okay.
I believe, but you, as lenient as I am about some things, I do not allow that. And, The minute that you start, I'm not having some kid that sits inside the house all day playing video games. I can assure you of that. But I'm not doing that.
Yeah, but Saturday mornings, you know, just leave me alone. Let me sleep.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, I don't care what you do.
That's what I said. Yeah,
but then,
that's fine.
But then don't talk about it constantly and don't not want to do things. I mean, Gambino reaches out and is like, hey, and this is something he always loved doing. And then all of a sudden it's, I don't want to do it because, oh, boy, was I mad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, was I mad.
But the minute you disconnected, did he all of a sudden just be like, okay, well, let's go? It's like almost like.
No, we got into it for a long time and then, no, I didn't take him.
He didn't go. Okay.
No, I was really mad.
Okay.
And then so, but then as the day went along, he started to realize that, and much to his credit, that, because, and the only reason I'm not mentioning my daughter is she's not into it, is that, much to his credit, he realized that was the correct decision. He started to realize that, ooh, was I mad. Very angry. Like, you don't understand these opportunities. Like, you don't get it. I don't want to go to baseball. I joined that board. I've put in all these hours, and now this is it? You're going to sit home and play video games all day? No. Yeah, Fortnite. I guarantee you that there's a million parents out there listening right now, of our millions of listeners, that are dealing with the same crap. But yeah, Rich, that's how they get you, is you buy stuff.
Yeah, and then you got to, is this the kind of thing where it makes you better to get you to the next level?
And so, like, it's Microsoft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then when I use a certain credit card, it comes up on my computer screen.
Yeah.
And there would be... be charged like $750, $550. I go, what the hell are you doing? I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, right, okay, you didn't buy anything.
It's just charging on its own.
Yeah, no, yeah, just to Microsoft. I'm in there buying all the Microsoft Word. I just love that. I picked the kids up from school one day, took Milo to basketball, took the kids out to eat, got home. And I said, you got to take a shower. He goes, I already showered. What are you doing? You showered school? Like, what a dumb lie. No, you didn't. I've been with you for 5 hours.
Yeah.
I already showered. It was the dumbest lie I've ever heard in my entire life. And then he argued with me that I was wrong.
Right. Well, there's my...
Thank God I'm not the only father that has this problem.
So there's my Tim Allen minute of the day. All right, a lot to get to. A very close Celtics game, not such a close Bruins game.
It's T&R. T&R on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, this weekend was a kick in the nuts.
Bledsoe, bounce pass, free throw line, Thon Maker, hand to Brogdon. Brogdon, left-hand dribble, pass Horford, runner, bounces, out, offensive rebound, is tapped up and in. Just the second offensive rebound of the day for the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's Giannis Antetokounmpo who gives Milwaukee the lead with 5.1 to go.
Oh, after laying a massive egg on Friday night, the Celtics give us another flat start in their 104-102 loss to Milwaukee that ties the series at 2 games apiece and brings John Wallach one step closer to his dream of calling Game 7 on the radio, should it get to that point. Now, real quick, if for some reason the Celtics close this out over the next 2 games, and they'd only go 6. Is there a chance that you would call Game 1 of whatever the second round would be?
It seems to be that's the way it's trending. Celtics would host Philadelphia in Game 1 on Saturday. That's far from being confirmed, but that's what people around the team seem to think.
Okay, so they think it would be Saturday.
And they think it's Saturday.
And that's a day that Grandy still would not be.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Either way, I would get a game if it is Saturday, yes.
All right, well, after taking a 12-5 lead, the Celtics shot just 8 for 32 for the rest of the first half, making just 1 3-pointer. However, the one thing we did learn yesterday is that despite their age, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are absolutely ready for the moment.
Left-hand dribble, straight away up top. Now left side of the floor. Puts in the hands of Jaylen Brown. End of the shot clock. Brown against Brogdon. Right-hand dribble. He shakes off Thon Maker. And sticks the three. The net doesn't even move as Jaylen Brown is having a game of his life. And the Celtics are within one with 1:27 to go. 5 threes, 34 points for Jaylen Brown. 99-98.
All right, just imagine for a moment that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were the complementary pieces to Kyrie and Hayward that they were supposed to be this year, and not the guys that were that they're depending on to be the guy. Those two absolutely carried the Celtics in Game 4. Brown finishing with a career-high 34 points, making 5 of 8 threes, and grabbing 8 rebounds in 41 minutes, while Jason Tatum scored 21 points in 36 minutes. At second half, he was on fire. Remember, Brown is 21 years old, and Tatum turned 20 in March. Unbelievable.
Now Horford running the floor, lead for Jaylen. Up fake the three, drives past Dellavedova, in off the rim and in. And the Celtics are rolling right now. Tatum, push pass, open. Jaylen Brown, right side, three, got it. 8-point game.
Come on. Reel him in. That's a big fish.
Bounce back. Jaylen Brown, left side. He's thinking about it. Deep three. Go. Money.
Come on. Storming back in. And down the stretch they come.
Left hand dribble. Going to go under the shoulder of Maker. He slips and falls, but he's able to throw it to the corner where Morris elevates and hits a three.
Slip sliding away.
Morris, left hand dribble down the left side. Gets near the rim. Puts it off the window and in. And game four is dead even with 9 minutes to go.
I just wanted to hear Max lose his mind a little bit because he was during that third quarter there during the big comeback. But by the way, back to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Before Sunday, only once in NBA history is a duo less than 22 years old combined for at least 55 points in a playoff game. And those two are Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Yeah. But when it comes to the series, ifs and buts don't advance you to the second round. Here is Brad Stevens afterwards.
This is what it's all about. It's fun. This is a really talented team we're playing. We didn't mistake that when we were up 2-0. I mean, we had to work hard and play tremendous to get that 2-0 lead. So we played really well tonight. There's certain things we can build off of. There's certain things we have to avoid. But at the end of the day, they had a lot to do with it, and they deserve credit for that.
So think about the starting five next year. And I know this is one of those things where nobody wants to hear this right now because everyone wants the team to advance. And Shaughnessy wrote a pretty good article about it in this morning's paper. And it's about as infuriating as this is going to be, that the Celtics more than likely are either going to be out this round or more than likely the next round. You got to take a look at what Tatum and Brown are doing and just think, imagine that starting five next year. If you go in there and don't even think about any kind of trades or don't even think about what's going on with Kawhi Leonard, just look at what you have. Let's say you've got Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and then your complementary pieces are these two kids who are only going to be better next year. At what point do you look at those guys and start thinking, man, like Jaylen Brown, when does he start to become almost untradeable? At this age, with the amount of money that you're paying him, with and you've got him for several more years on short cash, like at what point do you look at him and say, I don't know if you can move this guy? It honestly depends if it's someone like Anthony Davis.
That's what I was going to say.
Everyone's movable for Anthony Davis.
This is Mike Gorman moment. You don't trade him for anybody but Anthony Davis.
Well, no. I mean, take a look at what you're getting for him and for the amount of money and the potential that you could have at this age. I think that he's, unless it's somebody like Anthony Davis, why would you consider moving him right now?
He is showing you how much of a superstar he can be. I mean, it's one thing to score 34 points in a game, but when you're carrying your team in a playoff game, it's much, much different, especially when everyone on the floor knows you're going to get the ball. So, I mean, so far, Terry Rozier has kind of disappeared the last couple of games,
yep.
And that's to his detriment. But again, that's been Terry Rozier. He's been very up and very down. You're never quite sure what you're going to get from him. But Jaylen Brown has taken a major step forward, and you were talking about the starting five for next year. I mean, you could have another center to be named later, and Horford, who's more comfortable at the power forward position, and Jason Tatum, as good as he is, might wind up being your sixth man next year.
There's a chance, right? Yeah,
I mean, that's how deep this team can really be, and I think you have to look at the team in that context. you know, talent wise, they're showing you that they have some young players that can step up and perform very well in the playoffs, but ultimately, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who thinks they can go beyond two rounds except for Cedric Maxwell. I mean, you look at this team and, okay, they beat Milwaukee, and you look and Philadelphia is going to be a very tough team to play against, and the Celtics would be an underdog in that series. I mean, the focus really is next year. When you get Hayward at 100% and Kyrie Irving at 100% and these two guys, and you put Terry Rozier back on the bench, I mean, that's a stacked team that should be the favorite to go to the NBA Finals.
Well, Dellavedova did something yesterday that was delightful. When he took, when the stupid teams roll the ball.
Yeah.
Down.
Stepped in front at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah. And he grabbed and laid it in. There's nothing dumber than rolling the ball like that. I hate it.
Rondo used to pick on guys who would do that.
Right.
Like he would basically abuse them.
I know, but here's the problem.
Precious one second you've saved off the clock.
But here's the problem. And Bledsoe did this, I want to say, in game two or game three, where he rolled the ball up near midcourt and Rozier went out to chase him.
I saw that.
And Bledsoe just picked up the ball, drove by him, and scored. Yeah. I mean, that's the other side of the coin. So,
Dellavedova is infuriating because there's no way he should be as good as he is, but he always ends up delivering
crafty.
A big game.
No, but he knows what he's good at. He's not expected to care. He's paid to be very, very annoying and physical. And more to this point, I think the Celtics finally solved the Dellavedova problem. They just quit having the point guard bring the ball up the floor every time Dellavedova was in the game. Al Horford did it, and all of a sudden Dellavedova's, you know, impact on the game is significantly less.
The other thing is that those two losses all but guaranteed you that you have not seen Marcus Smart's last game as a Celtic. More than likely he's going to be back for game six. That's what everyone is saying. I know he was putting up shots before game four.
They're hoping he's going to be cleared for contact by tomorrow.
Yeah, so, but not game five. Game six is the one that they're apparently expecting him back. So, Wallach, maybe you may or may not be calling a game with Marcus Smart before the end of the season. We shall see. Now, Marcus Morris, as far as he's concerned, he's pissed because he believes he unfairly gets targeted for technicals, including ones in both games three and four. Here he is afterwards.
I don't know no other way to play it. It's not like I'm overly talking to the referees. It's not like I'm making an infraction with the referees. It's a game between men, and we going out there and we just get chippy. We bump a little bit. We, you know what I'm saying? We push, but it's not over the top. So I feel like every game I have to get a technical foul. You know what I mean? I'm not engaging into anything. I'm not going at the referees. I'm not talking crazy to them. So, you know, it's just getting old, man. Just finding me, teching me, it's getting old. It's laughable at this point.
All I can say is 2 weeks ago you smacked a ref on the ass. What do you expect? You do that and the radar will be on for the rest of the season.
I would find that delightful.
So the series returns home for game five, which will be at 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the TD Garden. And you can hear Grandy and Max with all of his strange calls right here on 98.5 Sports.
We have tickets to give away for said game. Later in the show.
Ah, nice. Do you know what time we'll do with that?
7:50.
8:50?
8:50.
8:50.
8:50.
Okay. Excellent.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where you're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, a bad Boston sports weekend just kept getting worse.
See if Chris is aggressive early in the count. Majority of the time that happens, we're in a scoring position late in the game.
Gomes. Yes, indeed. He smacks it deep. That one's sailing to left, and it is gone. That's a three-run homer. Can't get more aggressive than that. And it is 4-1 Oakland.
Well, the day after being no-hit in Oakland, the Red Sox crapped themselves in a 4-1 loss to the A's. David Price had just over 90 pitches and had just given up back-to-back singles in the eighth. Yet after striking out Jed Lowry, Alex Cora said, I think we're okay. Left in Price, and that was that. Here is David Price and how he thinks he fared yesterday.
It was good until the last hitter I faced. That's made pitches all day long, and one pitch cost me and cost our team, so that sucks.
Yeah, well, as far as Alex Cora is concerned, it was all about the A's pitching yesterday.
He did a good job being ahead in the count, you know, and then they expand the zone with change-ups, off-speed pitches. Actually, we put some good at-bats today, hit a ball hard, but, you know, we got a chance to get the lead second and third, infill in, and Christian gets a good pitcher hit. He doesn't get it, and obviously win a score.
How much of Saturday night's game did you watch, John Wallach, seeing that it ended at like one?
No, I I called it a day after the Bruins loss.
Okay.
I watched the Bruins game, and I'm like, I'm really not in the mood to watch a West Coast baseball game, so turned it off. Did not see any of it.
Yeah, an absolute gross weekend for the Red Sox. Do you read anything into this? Is it over?
Yeah.
They've now lost two in a row.
It's over.
Completely unacceptable.
17-4. Yeah, it's awful. Sure.
Do you read anything at all into what's going on with the A's? What happened with
No. They were 17-2.
Being no hit but that's strange.
That's what baseball is, though. I mean, the Red Sox had the number one offense. They won 17 of their first 19. Stuff like this happens. Mm-hmm. Nothing changes.
It's a big skid.
That's right.
Two game.
That's right.
West Coast trip.
It's the Johnny Gomes curse. Let's all blame it on Gomes.
I'm all for that.
Because you have no idea why they have Gomes in there. None.
I actually, you know, it's funny. As bad as he is, it's a reason for me to actually watch.
I'm betting it's because
he's so cheesy.
No, so Nesta didn't have to pay anyone to fly cross country. Gomes is in Arizona or wherever their single A affiliate is anyway. I bet you it's on the West Coast.
Gomes does it for free.
I have to look, but I'm betting maybe their single A team is in California. Maybe within driving distance.
Well, I mean, if you're Nesson, I mean, your team, your broadcast team on the free flight to anywhere you're going, I would imagine is very difficult.
Then maybe it's the hotel room they don't want to pay for.
Perhaps.
That's right. Well, there you go. Two losses in a row. Unacceptable. They try to right the ship in Toronto tomorrow night at 7:07. And the game after stealing one for the Bruins, Tuukka Rask blows one for Boston.
Now back of the net, Marner tried to center. Left of the net, it's fired. They score. Van Riemsdyk took his time and shoveled it over the top of Rask. A power play goal for Van Riemsdyk, his third of the series. Leafs with a 4-1 lead.
Well, just a gross display Saturday night. Tuukka gets pulled after letting up some softies, and even afterwards, Tuukka knew that he is the guy who messed it up.
Probably could have stopped more pucks with my eyes closed. That's about it. It's on me, but, you know, moving on next one.
And by the way, I mean, there's a lot of different things that Bruce Cassidy could have said, but what I do love about him is that he's not one to mix words. And did you hear him talking about Tuukka? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he didn't try to gloss over the fact that Tuukka was awful. And I know that a lot of these guys try to baby some of these players, but you've seen what's happened when Bruce Cassidy has, you know, benched him earlier in the year. Tuukka came back and went on an absolute tear. So, I mean, this is something that has worked in the past. Let's take a listen.
So we went with Anton, who's been very good for us. And then there's always that part. It gets the rest of the team's attention as well. So it's both. I don't want to measure or quantify what percentage of each, but, you know, clearly if I thought he was on, then he wouldn't have got pulled. I guess I put it that way.
He continued, though. I mean, there were several different comments where he continued to go back and call out Tuukka Rask for how poorly he played. And it wasn't just Tuukka Rask on a lot of those goals, although, I mean, the two of them were absolutely ridiculously soft. But, you know, I mean, I forget which goal it was. I don't think it was the Van Riemsdyk one, but there was one where Marchand didn't get back fast enough.
Yeah.
And once again, it's all about speed with this team, too.
So much slower.
I know,
so
they really are.
So much slower than Toronto.
But the thing that I took from watching Game 5 of the series is that if the Bruins play well, they'll win.
Yeah.
If they are still the better team in this. I mean, maybe Toronto wins at home tonight. That happens in playoff hockey. And they're pushed to a game 7. But the thing I've taken out of the first 5 games is the Bruins control things. If the Bruins play well, it doesn't matter what Toronto does. They're going to win a hockey game.
I just don't understand why they can't stop these long passes. And they can't stop... I mean, they can't muck it up in the neutral zone.
They did it one game and then not the next. It's very, very strange. And McAvoy falls asleep on a backdoor. If the Bruins focus, if the Bruins start well and play well all the way through, they're going to beat this team tonight. Doesn't matter what building they play in.
But it doesn't seem like it would have to take a great hockey mind to not allow rink long passes to speedier players that you could somehow muck it up a little bit. Maybe don't have your defense. I know it's a Cassidy thing that's worked, but maybe don't have your defense pinch so much and get so involved. I mean, Kevin Miller in front of the net, I mean, there's a point where you should probably focus on not letting people behind you. That's just frustrating because they're so much faster. And Chara, I mean, they need him to play, but Chara... And he not necessarily has played poorly, but it just, he's standing still.
Well, they gave up the blue line, what was it, game 3, and they got beat. And then they started pinching in game 5, and they got beat. I mean, it just, I don't know what the answer is.
Right. It just seems that you just get into more of a defensive style after a certain point. But what do I know?
Well, one thing I do know is that when Philly teams lose, it's class everywhere. The Penguins eliminated.
They were up in that game, too.
I know.
I mean, they were up. I mean, I thought that they were going to win that game.
They're so consistent.
So the Penguins
every time
eliminate the Flyers in Philadelphia. And guess who didn't like that? The Philadelphia fans.
Yeah.
Center just threw something on the ice. Not at all.
No, we got stuff flying all over.
These are not Flyer fans. Can't happen. Rust scores. Rust. Now people get hurt. Both York players and the visitors here. Throw them right out of the rink.
Just watch it. There's heavy artillery flying all over down there. Beer cans, everything.
Oh, my goodness.
You just got to watch it. Players are huddling here.
Throw these people out of the rink. You're going to have to empty out half the building.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
Full,
the end of the game.
Full beer cans being thrown onto the... And by the way, I love how the clip that I watch, which I guess is NBC Sports Boston, or NBC Sports, is they're panning over, and they always get the guy who's got like three beer cans in his hand, like, ah! Screaming to the crowd. It's like, all right, there's Philly guy. Like, and just everywhere you go, it's like a bunch of, full beer cans being thrown down there. Pierre Maguire, all I want is a Pierre can when that happens. Just to see the fear in his eyes as it's going to get showered
things go
down
raining
there.
Down on him
things go raining
when he's
down
in between the benches
on Pierre Maguire.
Do they sell beer cans at TD Garden?
Yes. Yeah,
they do.
Well, no. At TD Garden? No.
Or do they pour it for you and hand you a cup?
And by the way, that doesn't mean these guys didn't sneak those in, but there were beer cans.
Right. No, they serve you beer cans there.
Okay.
They did in Atlanta, too.
At the TD Garden?
No. In Philadelphia.
Okay, well...
It's like those 22-ounce cans or whatever the hell.
They might want to rethink that. That could hurt you. I know these guys have helmets on.
No, the players were huddled. I mean, the guy called it right. The guys are huddled to try and get away from
this. But this is best, though, because the PA guy for the Flyers gets on there, and even he's pissed.
Okay, those of you that have been thrown have done it now. 2-minute bench minor for the Flyers for delay of the game. Time 14 minutes, 58 seconds. There you go.
Yeah. Way to go, jerks.
The guy's been there. If the guy who does it's been there forever, too.
I mean, now you've done it.
Yeah.
Hope you feel good about yourself.
Now they're not going to win.
Right. And I love the Philadelphia crowd's like, yeah! They're already down by it. They can't win.
No, they're not going to win at that point.
I think there were 20 seconds left in the game.
Yeah. Now you've done it.
Just scored an open
we're down three goals with 20 seconds left. You cost us the game.
Yeah. Right. Well done, they say. Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, we got some more Patriots news. And coming up at 7 o'clock, we have to address something that happened involving the Patriots this weekend that is just as weird as it gets. Weird, strange, chaotic. I don't know how you classify it other than I've never seen anything like it before.
And it's got Mike Giardi thinking craziness. We will talk about that.
Stay tuned for more Petcher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Rich, what else is going on?
Speaking of Celtics, this is... can you check something for me, John? How much money did Big Baby Glenn Davis make in his career playing basketball? It always shocks me how much these guys, you know, like sixth, seventh guys on the bench, like how much they ended up making. Hell, it always shocks me how much Scalabrine made. I think Scalabrine made something crazy, like almost $20 million.
He got that deal coming out of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And Celtics signed him to like a 5-year contract.
Yeah, I think he had that. Yeah, it was like a year, it was like 4 years.
All right, Big Baby made over $34 million in his playing career.
$34 million the guy made. Let's say you take out agent fees and all that other stuff. He probably took home, $20 million. Yeah. So $20 million. The fact that over the last month or two, we have been hearing these stories about him. First of all, apparently dealing marijuana or something out of a hotel room, which is really no big deal. But what are you doing with $20 million and you have to resort to that? But now he has officially been named as a suspect in an assault with a deadly weapon case that left a man seriously injured. So the cops believe that Davis got into a physical altercation with a man outside of a West Hollywood nightclub on April 8th. And ultimately slammed the man down on the concrete. Davis allegedly fled the scene before the cops arrived. So the victim was hospitalized with broken bones and a broken
tooth. How fast could he have fled the scene?
I was just going to say.
That's the slowest cop ever.
Any cop could run this guy down. Like huffing and puffing.
Did he stop for a whole pizza?
Yeah, stopping at their Wiener Schnitzel.
Even one of those veterans, you know, that's a beat cop that's like, you know, 59 years old and is overweight could probably ankle tackle the guy
in a week.
So the dude he beat up was, I guess, hurt so bad that he was on a ventilator for a day. So originally he was just a person of interest in the attack, but now investigators have spoken with several witnesses, and they identified Big Baby Glenn Davis as the guy who did the beatdown. The cops are going to present the case to the district attorney in hopes of getting felony charges filed against Glenn Davis. Apparently he's had no comment, and they've reached out to him. I just say, just check that cool, tiny-ass private plane that he's got.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he's not all there mentally. I'm thinking that he might have some mental issues based on his behavior.
How do you... Now, is this a situation where you believe he blew through $20 million that quickly? I mean, that they're
all... Yes, I think that's exactly what the problem is. I think he blew through his entire... earnings. I think all of it is gone, and now he's fending for himself.
An Antoine Walker situation.
Yes. I don't even think the money was stolen from him. Walker got robbed, if I remember right.
Well, he also made some bad decisions.
Gambling was a horrible thing for Antoine, too, but I think Big Baby just spent it all without any regard for anything. 401k?
Well, whenever you have a suitcase full of money, it kind of shows that you're not, maybe don't have the greatest portfolio.
I'm
just going to stick this in a suitcase and walk around.
All right. Well, we're going to get to the audio here in just a moment. But before we do, there is another report that has come out that both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are still irritated over the Malcolm Butler benching. This is from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. I said, apart from Gronkowski's satisfaction or lack thereof with his pay, there's also belief that Gronkowski, Brady, and other Patriots continue to be salty about the inexplicable and still unexplained benching of cornerback Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. A full 11 weeks later, Coach Bill Belichick still hasn't shed any light on the decision to use Butler for only one special teams play and keep him on the bench even after Philly offense shredded New England. And then it goes on with a rumor that I had not heard, but it said that there was a rumor out there that one of the reasons that he was benched was that he had somebody in his room during the Super Bowl who wasn't supposed to be there. But Mike Florio says security was so tight that that was probably impossible to happen. I wouldn't think so. If you were somebody who was a player on the Patriots and you had a guest with you that you wanted to bring up to your room, don't you think that the police or whoever was guarding the hotel would be like, okay, fine. Yeah, if you're with this guy, then I guess everything's okay.
Well, I can't imagine having a guest to your hotel room.
Well,
that would just be, it's anarchy to be a grown man and have a guest in your hotel room.
And if that's the reason that he got benched, I mean, that's obviously ridiculous. So, but that
can't be the reason he got benched.
Well, that's another rumor. Once again, that was out there here. Let me see if I can find that. It was here it is. It said, none of the theories that have made the rounds fully hold water. And as one coach with another team previously pointed out, the fact that Butler took practice reps during the week before the Super Bowl strongly suggests that the move is disciplinary. Some have suggested that Butler may have had an unauthorized visitor in his room during the week before the game.
Well,
but security at the JW Marriott, the Mall of America, was too high to allow players to sneak someone in. Well, as I said, if somebody comes in, a player, and has a friend with them, what are they going to say? No, you can't allow your friend to come into the hotel room with you? No, of course not.
Especially the JW Marriott at the Mall of America.
Well, security was pretty ridiculous. Like, machine gun ridiculous.
Well,
and
no,
John and I know that because we walked the wrong way from our hotel.
And encountered some of those nice people in fatigues.
Dudes with machine guns who would not let you inside the hotel. So that part I actually believe.
Correct.
No, it was wonderful. I mean, I'm glad that they got to stay in the same palatial accommodations as us.
That was the best, because we'd be sitting there doing our show that morning, and you know, the JW Marriott, the elevator comes down right near where we were broadcasting by the food court, and who is it that we said was Stephen Goskowski?
Yeah,
just getting a coffee at the Starbucks right there at the food court, because there's nowhere else close you could get a coffee.
I cannot believe that a city the size of Minneapolis, St. Paul, had everything at the mall.
Everything. Everything.
I mean, they're perfectly capable. They have a convention center. They have everything going on downtown. It's not, you know, that we weren't in Omaha, Nebraska. We were in that's got to be a top 20 market, Minneapolis.
It's probably right there.
Right. So
right at 20.
I mean, we went downtown. There's plenty. I don't understand why in the hell they had us at a mall.
It was good for us because we were close to all of the players and everything that we needed to be near. But for them, first of all, how much does that suck? I don't know anybody who went to that game, not just because the Patriots lost, who enjoyed themselves when they went to Minneapolis. Like, it's there was nothing to do there if you were a fan. It was 15, so freaking cold. What's that?
Media Market 15.
Is it? Okay, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's the 15th largest city, let's say, in the United States.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, they had to have us at a mall 20 miles from the city.
It's their crown jewel, Fred. Why not show it off?
They have there's plenty. Well, a lot of people live there.
You're not going to show off your 7 lid stores that you got in one location?
I mean, what were they thinking?
That was fascinating how many lids they had there. It was like there was the West Wing lids. There was the East Wing lids. There was the lids that was inside of Macy's.
There was the one upstairs. There was the one downstairs.
That's right. Did they think everyone, but stacking the media in the mall, did they think that this was a good look for the city? I mean, at the end of the day, I didn't really, it sucks anyway you slice it being out these things. But, I mean, everything at the mall... You have a big downtown. You got a bunch of stuff going on. I mean, just do it. Have it there.
Right. Instead of doing something that embraced, like, the culture of, like, the music scene that was there, all the history. Instead, it was, hey, look, we got a Ninja Turtles roller coaster.
Yeah.
How about SpongeBob?
I mean, there's a huge convention center right by the arenas, you know, with hotels and everything.
And you have, you know, indoor walkways to get you from one place to another.
I don't know. You would just think that if you have a vibrant downtown, that you would somehow want to showcase it.
We could have gone to First Avenue after every show. Would have been nice.
I mean, even Detroit had everything downtown.